D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
The Word of God has been a foundation stone of America's strength and prosperity. But can it be so again? And how can you help make that happen? Find out on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program. I am Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. As we look forward to Thanksgiving this week, we are reminded of the godly men and women who came to these shores 400 years ago to worship God freely and ultimately to establish a new nation. Our secular society has run aground because it has ignored God's design, which He's given to us in His Word. Later on today's program, you will discover how God's gospel and His Word are being brought afresh directly to the halls of power on Capitol Hill. And we will tell you how you can be part of directly influencing the new Congress for Christ. As we begin, I recently had the opportunity to have a conversation with John Stone Street, a fellow of the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview, and co-host of the radio program, Breakpoint. We talked about the vital importance of the Bible in America, both yesterday and today. Mandates of Scripture is that we always be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have, and to do that with gentleness and respect. Dr. Kennedy was a big proponent of being equipped to articulate and our answers and overcome basic objections that people raise. And of course, the Colson Center for Worldview has an enormous focus on apologetics as well, defending the faith. Is there anything new under the sun? Is there anything new that you see in terms of objections to the historic Christian faith today, as opposed to, in recent past?
There's a couple different ways to do apologetics, and I think it leads to the answer to your question. One is to defend specific challenges. The other is to engage in a culture that kind of assumes differently. C.S. Lewis once said that the more dangerous ideas in a society aren't the ones that are argued, but the ones that are assumed, the ones that are kind of embedded. It's more than just that people challenge the divinity of Christ or the resurrection or the truthfulness of Scripture. All of that's there. But we really live in what's called a secular society. And what that means is we live in a society where people live and move as if God is largely irrelevant to life. And I think one of the largest challenges that we have in a secular society is bringing God back into the conversation, bringing God-based explanations back into even the framework of looking at contemporary issues. And what we find, and this is, of course, we know that Christianity is true, and what we mean is not just true for you and me, but it's true. It's true whether we believe it or not. So that Christianity has unique contributions to bring to these conversations. So we have an explanatory power from our faith to the big issues of the day that can actually step in when secular answers run shallow.
And of course, the Scripture says that, we have this written on our hearts. We all have knowledge of God. Some will deny it. We live in a secular culture, but there are people still walking around everywhere with some sense of a transcendent God. And yet we also live in a culture that, postmodern culture, that argues, at least philosophically argues, that there is no such thing as truth at all. And so how in a postmodern world do we argue for a truth-based conception of our faith?
We've kind of lived in a postmodern culture now for some time, and it's one of those ideas I think that has more bark than bite, right? I mean, because a culture like ours, which we call a postmodern culture, and we're famous for saying things like there are no absolutes, sexual freedom is an absolute in our society. I mean, you see what I mean? I mean, it's like it's sure. The absolute that there are no absolutes, and the absolute of sexual autonomy right now is you know the absolute upon which we're basing laws. We're deciding school policies, you know, locker room policy. I mean, it's you know, if there's an absolute, that's it. And I think one of the things that Christians can do is highlight some of these contradictions. When culture says this, well, what about this? You know, and I think that's one of the ways that we can introduce truth back into the conversation is by highlighting some of these contradictions.
With the most common objection to Christianity being an objection to the Bible itself, how do you answer someone who says, I don't believe in the Bible?
Well, I think at some level you have to start making a case for the Bible. Everybody does rest their authority in something. And so one of the best ways to make a case for the Bible is to contrast it against other cases for authority. For example, if we're not going to, you know, if we're not going to assume that God has revealed His will and His word to us, what are we going to base our worldview on? What are we going to base our beliefs on? Who are we going to trust? I think that's a very important one. I think another kind of really compelling down-to-earth imaginative case is just talking about the power that the Scripture has had in shaping Western civilization. I mean, you really walk around Washington, D.C. and go into the museums and look on the side of the buildings, and if you don't know the Scripture, you're going to miss an awful lot of the illusions that are being made in some of these quotes and some of these great lines in our founding documents and in other places. The other thing is I think we have to get back to talking about Scripture as not just a collection of individual verses, but as the grand narrative of the human story. Because we all have a story of humanity, and the Christian story is a better story. And you put that story together, and it's a far more compelling story, I think, truthfully, as well as even just to the imagination, than any other answer on the market.
In our secular age, faith has been increasingly marginalized. We're told that we are free to hold our biblical beliefs privately, but that the public square is to be secular. But taken against the backdrop of all of human history, the idea of a totally secular public square is almost unheard of. And in those rare cases where it did happen, it did not end well. The Bible itself makes no distinction between some internal private spiritual realm and everything else. As Dr. D. James Kennedy explains, God's Word has had a massive societal and cultural impact throughout history.
Our subject today is the vital importance of the Bible. George Gallup tells us that 27.5 million Americans, 27.5 million Americans read the Bible every day. Are you one of those? If you add those that read it occasionally, the figure rises to 195 million. For some, that is very occasional, I'm afraid. And that leaves some 55 million, or 22%, who never read it at all. We are living in a time when Bible ignorance is widespread. We are a biblically illiterate people, except for a small proportion of those who faithfully and daily study the Word of God. But it is the greatest treasure that we have ever had. It is the indestructible Word of God, the unconquerable Word of God. As Dr. Conrad said, century follows century, and there it stands. Empires rise and fall, but there it stands. Dynasty succeeds dynasty, but there it stands. Kings are crowned and uncrowned, there it stands. Emperors decree its destruction, but there it stands. Despised and torn to pieces, there it stands. Storms of hate swirl about it, but there it stands. Atheists rail against it. There it stands. Agnostics smile cynically, but there it stands. Profane, prayerless, punsters caricature it. But there it stands. Unbelief abandons it. There it stands. Higher critics deny its inspiration, but there it stands. An anvil that has broken a million hammers. There it stands. The indestructible Word of God. It is vitally important because not only is it the indestructible Word of God, but also its importance extends to every phase of our lives. William Lyon Phelps said, "Our civilization is founded upon the Bible. More of our ideas, our wisdom, our philosophy, our literature, our art, our ideals come from the Bible than from all other books combined." That is high praise. Not long ago, it was mentioned even by Newsweek that it was being discovered that the Bible, more than the Constitution even, was the founding document of this country. And the one book that was quoted above all others by the founding fathers of America was the Bible. President John Adams, one of the founders of our nation and its second president, said, "I have made it a practice every year for several years, to read through the Bible." Andrew Jackson, our seventh president, said, "The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests." And Abraham Lincoln, 16th president of these United States, said this, "In regard to this great book, I have but this to say. It is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. Except for it, we would not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare here and hereafter are to be found in it." And Ronald Reagan, "Inside the Bible's pages lie all of the answers to all of the problems man has ever known. I hope Americans will read and study the Bible. It is my firm belief that the enduring values presented in its pages have a great meaning for each of us and for our nation. The Bible can touch our hearts, order our minds, and refresh our souls." And lastly, let me say that it is the influence of the Bible which has most benefited humanity of any book that has ever been written. The American patriot and statesman Robert C. Winthrop said back in 1852 some profound words. "Diffuse," he said, "the knowledge of the Bible, and the hungry will be fed and the naked clothed. Diffuse the knowledge of the Bible, and the stranger will be sheltered and the prisoner visited and the sick ministered unto. Diffuse the knowledge of the Bible, and temperance will rest upon a surer basis than any mere private pledge or public statute. Diffuse the knowledge of the Bible, and the peace of the world will be secured." These and many other things the Scripture has accomplished in the lives of countless millions of people. How much is the Bible influencing your life? Are you reading it regularly? Is its influence daily making an impact in your heart? My friend, without the Word of God, your life will not be a success. You will not find eternal salvation. Faith will not grow without it. You will not have happiness in this life. If you would pursue happiness, then heed those who wrote those words and who gave us those words, and recall that it is in the Scriptures that you will find it. If your life would have guidance and strength to follow that guidance, then you'll find that in the Word of God.
As Dr. Kennedy just related, the Bible was profoundly important to America's founding generation. They cited it in their writing and speeches more than any other book. Yet recent surveys show that today most Americans, including our leaders, are essentially biblically illiterate. Small wonder, then, that our culture has decayed so rapidly into immorality and spiritual poverty. Dr. Kennedy was committed to doing something about that. In 1995, he commissioned the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship in Washington, D.C., and he gave me the privilege of being its founding executive director. As you're about to see, the center's work is ongoing and more important than even at its founding.
Dear friend, we are in the midst of a war of values, a war against God and His truth. And it's why we're now in Washington, D.C., striving to spread the gospel and minister to those Christians who are trying to make a difference. I won't give up.
I remember Dr. Kennedy talking about Paul's intent to get to Rome. That Rome was the crossroads of the ancient world, all roads lead to Rome, and that he wanted to get there. He even says that in the book of Romans, I've desired to preach the gospel with you who are in Rome also. And in the same way, Dr. Kennedy said, in the modern world, if there's a city that's the crossroads of the modern world, it's Washington, D.C. Every nation sends their best and brightest here. All nations send government representatives, ambassadors, all to this place. And that a witness for Christ in Washington would be a witness for Christ to the world.
Never before have we had the opportunity to be right in the midst of our nation's capital, to be a voice for Christ where it is needed so very much.
Undeniably, Dr. Kennedy was about Christianizing the world. He wanted every person on earth to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, to do that, you have to have the liberty to do that. And so one of the things that Dr. Kennedy fought for was preserving the liberty to speak the truth, to be able to preach the gospel in our day. And so he had this idea of developing a center at what he called the Rome of today in Washington, D.C., to influence leaders so that we could preserve the right to be able to share the gospel.
I thought Dr. Kennedy was completely mistaken when he called and said, I want you to pray about going to Washington, D.C. to start this ministry. Because I had just finished my doctorate. I'd earned a doctorate in finance. He told me about his vision for the Center for Christian Statesmanship, and it was really very stirring, very exciting. And I said, Jim, I don't think I'm the right guy. Because I just spent 5 years of blood, sweat, toil, and tears earning this doctorate in finance, and you don't want me to just chuck all that and go to Washington, D.C. And he laughed in my ear, and he said, no, I don't want you to chuck all that. I want you to pray about it, and if it's God's will for you, you should do it. I came to faith in Christ. My wife, Ruth, came to faith in Christ through evangelism explosion. Dr. Kennedy baptized all three of my children. Other than that, I had no reason to say yes to the man.
This is an enormous undertaking. And we would not be so brazen as to suppose that we're going to change this city overnight or next year. But we're going to make an effort, and we need your prayers.
So I really got here, quite frankly. I say I got here with just a briefcase, a business card, and a checkbook. But there was Dr. Kennedy's whole ministry and his reputation had preceded me here. And I came here and said, I'm working for Dr. D. James Kennedy, and that carried a lot of weight early on, opened a lot of doors. Those many years ago, one of the things that always occurred to me as I walked over the Capitol complex, and sometimes the sun would come up and the light would be shining on the dome of the Capitol. It was just magical. But I would look at the buildings that I passed on the way, walking across the Capitol, and I would see buildings dedicated to labor unions and veteran organizations and building for this and a building for that. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a permanent place that emphasizes the role of Christian statesmanship, a kind of driving a stake into the ground on Capitol Hill?
We began to pray earnestly that God would give us a place. And I still remember the day when we got a phone call that said, hey, there is a space.
Got I think the ministry is today positioned to be more effective in its outreach than it's ever been before. And in some ways that I had never even imagined 20 years ago.
We have a very special opportunity here right on Capitol Hill to reach out to the leaders of our country and the staffers and interns that work with them and encourage them in their faith and help them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
I would argue that the need for this ministry in this hour is greater than it was when Dr. Kennedy looked at our nation's capital and had this idea for creating a ministry to powerful people. The need today is far greater than it was then.
This institution was the capstone, I believe, in a sense, of Dr. Kennedy's ministry to impact the culture and impact the nation. There are those that say the most important thing is to preach the gospel, and I believe that's true. But the second most important thing is to preserve the freedom to do the most important thing.
The Center for Christian Statesmanship and D. James Kennedy Ministries are now partnering on an important project to get God's Word into the hands of every member of the incoming Congress. And you can be a part of that. Here's my friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy to tell you how. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. The D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship isn't about politics. It's about the Word of God and the Gospel. This nation is deeply divided, as we saw demonstrated in the recent election. Most agree that our nation is in a crisis, but they can't seem to agree on why or what the most important issues are. My father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, knew that such questions cannot be answered apart from the Word of God. He knew that the Bible is the plumb line, the standard, the true north we need to navigate our cultural byways. Our nation is in desperate need of God's Word, and nowhere is that more true than among our nation's leaders. We have joined with the Center for Christian Statesmanship to put the D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible into the hands of every member of the incoming Congress, and we need your help to do it. This amazing study Bible pulls together the best of my father's biblical teaching on everything from the dangers of socialism to the death penalty. Featuring hundreds of articles, the D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible brings the Word of God to bear on the most pressing issues facing each of us and our nation. Won't you help us get one of these Bibles into the hands of each member of Congress? Please give a generous donation today to help us get this Bible to your representatives and senators, and to help us continue with our mission of speaking truth into a culture desperately in need of it. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Your generous donation will help Evangelism Explosion International and us deliver the D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible to each and every member of the new Congress. And we'll thank you by sending you the never-before-offered book, Reclaiming the Lost Legacy, The Founders and the First Amendment, featuring chapters from Dr. Frank Wright, Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, my father, and others. This important book details the ongoing attack on the First Amendment, the illegitimate removal of God from government, and how we can reclaim our American biblical heritage. It's yours as our thanks for your generous donation to help us send the D. James Kennedy Topical Study Bible to every member of Congress. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org.
Imagine walking out to your mailbox one day to discover that you have received a letter from the White House. Upon opening it, you discover a handwritten letter addressed to you personally from the president himself, from the one we call the leader of the free world. Now, imagine tossing that letter aside to be read later. After all, you're very busy with the tasks of daily life. Perhaps down the road you can find some time to go back and read it. Right now, a quick scan at best will have to do. Does that seem absurd to you? Well, it should. Yet there is a greater absurdity than that. We have in our possession a written and personal communication from the Ancient of Days, the everlasting and almighty Lord of the universe. We have in our keeping a love letter from our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet we too tend to set it aside, always intending to read it later. Recently, Ligonier Ministries and Lifeway Research conducted a study of 3,000 Americans to gauge their biblical and theological acumen. The findings were troubling, to say the least. Only 52% of self-identified evangelicals, barely half, held that sex outside of marriage is a sin. Only 48%, less than half, said they believe abortion is a sin. And astonishingly, 61% of evangelicals strongly disagreed with the idea that even the slightest sin deserves eternal damnation, despite the fact that the Bible clearly teaches that Adam and Eve's eating of the forbidden fruit plunged the entire creation into curse and judgment. God has spoken, yet we live in a day where even those who claim to know Him resolutely refuse to listen. Why would we expect the secular world to take God's word seriously when so little of the evangelical world seems to? Dear friends, serious Bible teaching, study, and obedience are the crying need of our day. And to be perfectly clear, none of this is to earn the favor of God. Jesus has procured the salvation of all who will trust in Him alone. We study His word and we seek to obey it because we love Him. Yet for many, His great love letter to us stays on a shelf, neglected and forgotten. Would you like to know what the future holds for us? Well, I can tell you in the form of two questions. First, will pastors faithfully undertake the challenge of boldly and clearly teaching the Word of God on the basic issues of sin and salvation? Second, will Christians submit to the clear Word of God, whether or not it comports with their preferences or with the spirit of our age? The answers to these questions will foretell the future of America, just as ears that will not hear and eyes that will not see explain America's present. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for watching today, and may you and yours have a blessed Thanksgiving. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The founders understood we cannot have that. We have to have a free market of ideas. Everybody has their own conscience. Religion is necessary, but it must be free.
Never in the history of the world, one writer said, has any nation so quickly jettisoned its system of belief.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.